reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me." Jesus said to him in reply, "Allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. I have to say, I thought of a story near the beginning of Mass. So what else is new? About a Redemptorist mission. Redemptorists had a long history of preaching parish missions and revivals. And this was back in the days when one of the nights was dedicated to temperance. So it was a night dedicated to giving up the drink. And all, in the old days it was mostly men. But let's say men and women, they're all there. And there's thousands of people, and the padre was there preaching, and man, he was worked up, and the people were, "Amen, Jesus," and "Hallelujah." It was really something. And he's going on, and he's fired up, and he's talking about, we gotta give up the drink, because it could lead us to sinfulness. It could lead us down the wrong path. You know, let's all take the whiskey and dump it in the river. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Let's all take the beer and dump it in the river. Amen, amen. And they're going on. And let's take our scotch, let's take this, the wine, everything. Amen. So everybody promises. We pledge, we promise. And it was the end. And then it was someone like Pope Sullivan who got up right after that for the closing song and says, our closing hymn, she said very shyly, will be number 609. Let us gather at the room. There, I got it out of my frog. But I do have another story. That had nothing to do with the honor. You know, I'm from Detroit, and I thought of a story that is true. It goes back some years from Detroit, and it's about Henry Ford, the original, the founder of Ford Motor Company in Detroit. There was a time, as the story goes, he was in Europe. He'd already expanded, and he was having meetings there and inspecting plants. And back in Detroit, the original Ford Motor Company is built alongside the River Rouge, it's called, which is right by the Detroit River, which is huge. And on the other side of Detroit is Windsor, Ontario. But Detroit River is a big waterway. So as the story goes, there was one of the machinists of Ford Motor Company had been working there like over 30 years. And all through those years, he had been taking things, little things. Oh, we won't miss this tool, or that tool, or this part. And all those years, these things added up. Well, the guy found Jesus, and he got baptized. So he comes to the foreman, and he is really penitent. And he says, "Look, this isn't right. I'm baptized now, and I can't live with this anymore. I've stolen all these years. I've got a whole truck full of stuff that I pilfered over the year." And he asked for forgiveness, and the foreman saw all this stuff, and he was quite impressed. So he telegrams Henry Ford in Europe, and Ford sends a cable immediately back to the foreman, and he said, "Do something to get the Detroit River totally dammed up and baptize the entire city." That way he'd probably get some tools back. But there is a point to that. That machinist was right, though. He was baptized, and he knew that his baptism called him to something new, to change things in his life. We who are baptized already, every day ought to be as if we just got baptized. It should be a reminder of our baptismal promises, our baptismal vows, our baptismal commitment. That's what this feast is all about. I was referring to this great ensemble that we have here before us, the mysteries of faith. We have there the mystery of the incarnation in the nativity scene, which reflects one part of the mystery. And you can't celebrate it or reflect on it without reflecting on the mystery of the passion. When we see Jesus on the cross, God's great love for us again. Or the mystery of the Eucharist, which is the resurrected Lord who is with us and walks with us and lives in us. And when we see, are reminded of Mary, her great role in all this, her fiat, her saying yes, even in those really troubled times. And this feast stops us to say, let's take stock of our baptismal commitments. What can be changed? What needs to be changed? With God's help, because by ourselves, we can't do it. But listening to that story about Henry Ford and the machinist, can you imagine a world in which, let's say, a whole city decided to take everyone who's baptized, a whole city full of baptized persons, taking very, very seriously their baptismal commitment and changing what needs to be changed? Or a whole country of baptized persons and good persons taking that commitment to heart and remembering it involves not just Sundays, not just Christmas or Easter, but every moment of every day. I am a baptized person. Imagine a whole church, worldwide church full of people, committed, baptized persons. What a difference that would make. If that were to happen, this line from the Our Father that we always pray, we'll pray today together, would happen immediately. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven and earth would be one. You know, John the Baptist was kind of a wild-looking guy. I've often tried to imagine what he looked like. We hear readings during Lent, during Advent, and a little bit today. It doesn't really describe him, but we know what deserts are like. At least we know what Sonoran Desert is. The desert that he lived in was a bit different and drier. But, you know, imagine the lack of water. I just try to picture his hair, for one thing. I'm kind of envious, but he must have hair all over the place. And this character with the hair and fiery eyes, wearing camel skin, and he ate pure protein, locusts, but he wasn't dumb, put honey on him. But imagine, I imagine what he looked like. And I think to myself, very honestly, I'll say this. If I'm walking down the street in some city and a character who looked like that was walking toward me on the same side, I'd probably cross the street to get around him. So his looks probably didn't attract anybody, if anyone. But there was the message of John's. Make straight the paths of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. Confess your sins. Be in sync with God. Be one. Recognize God's presence. Be baptized and changed. And a lot of people came and they admitted their sins. They confessed their sins. They were baptized. They committed themselves all in the Jordan River. It was a living symbol of cleansing, the baptism of repentance. Well, we hear in the gospel today that one day a man approaches, who is the Lord Jesus, to be baptized. And John sees him. And in one of the other Gospels, it calls out, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Not in Matthew's account. In Matthew's account, St. Matthew says, John resisted. He didn't want to baptize Jesus. "You don't need baptism," he says. "I
I should be baptized by you.
He tells Jesus, not you by me. And Jesus tells him, we have to do this. We have to do this. And he's baptized. And we hear the account, this account and other accounts. Something marvelous happened. And people witnessed this. You know, it says the skies opened up, whatever that means. And the loving Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, like a peaceful dove, descends upon him. The love between God the Father and God the Son, a pure love, a perfect love. And that loving voice of God saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now you and I are baptized. Our baptism is at least twofold. You know, Jesus had no sins to wash away, but he was still baptized. He's baptized. He's stepping forward to accept his future, to accept public acceptance of his mission, because he doesn't come on his own. He's sent by God, sent by the Father, because he is God. And he accepts his mission to be our Redeemer. That's where we're involved. As I say, our baptism is one of repentance, but it's also like the baptism of Jesus. You and I are cleansed of our sins, but you and I also, remembering that we are baptized and recalling our baptism and renewing our vows, we embrace our future. We step forward. We accept our mission. We accept the mission that we receive from Jesus. Because we don't go forth in our own names. No. That's why you and I are called Christian. Another Christ, like the Christ. In the prayers, one of the prayers we'll hear today, there's always that phrase we hear in Mass about being conformed. Let's pray to the Father. Being conformed to the likeness of your Son. It's a fancy way of saying to be changed, to be transformed, to be like Jesus, to follow him, to imitate him. That's what our baptism is about. That's why today we stop and say, oh yes, that's right. It's not just for Sunday, it's not just for Christmas, not just for Easter. It's every day of the year, all of us. Here's something I wrote down for my own reflection that I share with you, but I put it in the plural. For all of us to reflect on. Just think to yourself, as a mother, as a father, as a single person, as a teenager, as a single person, as a religious, a deacon, a priest, whatever your call in life might be in the church, ask yourself, do I really believe that, first of all, it's the Lord who calls me to these vocations? And as parents, we'll say too, calls me. Do I really believe that if I say yes to the Lord's call, all day, every day, when things are going well, when things are not going well, always, do I believe that God calls me and always has and does right now and always will give me everything I need to be faithful to the call? Let's believe in him. Let's embrace our baptism. And let's go forth together and live the faith. Amen.
Amen.